weeks, we're in the middle of a series called American Christianity. We've been working through some issues that are specifically issues for us as American Christians. And the first week, we talked about alcohol. The second week, we talked about guns and self-defense. And then here tonight, we find ourselves talking about social media. Now, something I would encourage all of you to do, if you have not heard the other two sermons or even missed one of them, I would encourage you to go to the website and listen to them, because you're going to get the fullness out of this sermon series by obviously having all of the information. And one thing I wanted to encourage you guys in as you're getting settled and getting everything together there is this, is that it is so important for us as Christians, and I'm going to say this again, that we have convictions. A lot of Christians in the room, they have preferences, they have opinions, they have strong feelings, but the question is, do you have convictions? Do you have Bible-based convictions on whether you should or should not be participating in certain things like alcohol and guns and self-defense and tonight, social media? The name of the sermon tonight is, Why Are We Addicted to Social Media? And there might be people in this room that say, I'm not. And there might be some that are and still say they're not. There might be some people in this room that feels like social media is really far from them, others who feel like social media is something that's an everyday part of their life. But I want to give you guys some statistics, and then we're going to pray, and then we'll jump into this tonight. One statistic I want to give you guys is, on average, anywhere from 2.5 hours to 4.5 hours is spent on someone's phone digging into social media. All right, so 2.5 to 4.5. Also, on average, anywhere from 3.5 hours all the way to 6.5 hours are spent watching television each day. So if we combine those numbers, like if you're really extreme, that's 11 hours of social media / TV. And even if you're on the low end, you're still talking about 5.5, 6 hours of TV / social media or sitting in front of a screen. And this leads to some incredibly big issues inside of our lives. And for most of us, this is going to be the first time that a lot of these issues have even been dug up in your heart and in your life. And so what I want you to do is really seek the Lord. Sometimes when we think about something like social media, we instantly get defensive because it's such a big part of our lives. And I'm going to encourage you to not just get defensive. What I'm going to encourage you to do is here in a moment, just sit with God and say, God, take your truth and dig it down deep in my heart. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to be missing out on delight in you or satisfaction in you because I've made an idol out of something that I should have never made an idol out of in my life. And so tonight, this isn't about the condemnation of social media, but it is about really digging in and asking yourself some incredibly tough questions. And so with that said, I'm going to encourage everybody to just take about 30 seconds or so, spend a little time in prayer, then I will have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into this subject tonight. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for tonight. Father, I pray that you will do a work that only you can do. I pray, Lord, that you will dig down deep into our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be honest with ourselves. And I pray, Lord, that this conversation tonight, this message tonight, will lead to conversation in this week and in the weeks to come, that we might wrestle through this issue in a very healthy way. But I pray, Lord, for honesty, not offense, but honesty with ourselves. And that we'll come to grips with how so often, Lord, we are missing joy and satisfaction in you because of turning to lesser things. Father, we love you, we praise you, and thank you for the amazing work you're going to do in all of our hearts and lives. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm going to start tonight with a John Piper quote, and then I'm going to talk about a few other things before we jump into the scripture, but I want you to go ahead and turn over to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, and then on your piece of paper, there's a John Piper quote down there at the bottom, and it says this, "Since none of God's purposes can be frustrated," really want you to zero in on that, "since none of God's purposes can be frustrated, then he must be the happiest of all beings." This infinite divine happiness is the fountain from which the Christian drinks and longs to drink more deeply. So the very first thing I want you to wrestle with is, when you think about Christ, do you think about him as the source of happiness or joy in your life? Or do you find yourself looking to other things as your primary source of joy or happiness? I think a lot of times when we think about church, when we think about religion, when we think about the Bible, when we think about just the things that we do as Christians, joy and happiness is not always the first thing that comes to mind, but it should be. Why? Because of the God that we serve. We serve a God who is a happy God, not a miserable God, not a God with a big frown on his face, but a happy God who delights in us delighting in him. He invites us into this joy, into this delight, but for so many of us, the reason we don't experience something like this description is because of all the distractions that we have in our lives. I want us to read Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, and I'm going to give you an example of social media, and then we'll unpack this scripture. So Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want you guys for a moment to focus on this table right here that's empty, and there's a few, but I want you to focus on just one of them. And I want you to pretend for a moment that there were people sitting at that table, and all of those people have big, giant smiles on their face, and they could not look more excited to be at church tonight. We kind of do a little video of them. They're high-fiving. They're celebrating. They're jacked to be here. Every time I say something that's amen-worthy, they're shouting out amen. And so we take a picture of those people, and we say, come to Legacy Community Church. This is Legacy Community Church. And then people come. And just imagine for a moment that that table isn't really there. Those people I just described don't come here. But what they walk into are frowns. What they walk into is sadness, depression, people that seem like they just have to be here. What we just did is lie to them about the reality of our situation. And this, a lot of the times, is what social media is. We will clean out a corner of our house, and we will make it all look perfect. And we will set our Bible there, and we'll have our little mug, and we'll have our little pen. And the reality is the rest of our house is a hot mess. But this corner of our house is perfect, and we want everybody to believe something, and that is our life is perfect. And the thing is, we want them to believe our life is perfect without putting forth the effort to work on everything else in the house that is a mess. Because if I can just convince you that life is good by looking at this corner, I don't have to deal with the real me. I want to give you another illustration. If I stood up in the middle of this room and rolled up my sleeve and started flexing, most of you in this room would be like, that dude's got serious problems. And if I waited for at least 10 people to tell me how good I looked while I was flexing, I hope it wouldn't come, by the way. But if I waited for 10 people to tell me how good I looked in the center of the room, you guys would probably think at best I'm crazy and maybe I'm just a straight narcissist who needs this attention to feel any worth at all about himself. And what social media becomes is something as silly as I just described. Everybody look at me. I want you to see me at my best. How many times do we see parents put up videos online of their children being absolutely out of control in the grocery store? Not very often. Why? Because that's real. But you know what we love to do? Have our kids pose for just a moment that the world is perfect and wonderful and beautiful, and today is my first day of school, as if they wanted to get up, as if they actually wanted to shower, as if you didn't just force feed them breakfast, as if you weren't scurrying around trying to get their book bag filled, throw it on them and get them out the door, but you don't want anybody to see that. And it goes all the way to this place. We don't even want God to see that. See, in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, it says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. When's the last time that was a part of your prayer? Like, search me. Because some of you already know some of your sins. And a lot of your life revolves around that one, two, or three sins in your life. And you spend a lot of your Christianity trying to do better with those. And I know so many Christian brothers and sisters that when they sin in a certain way, their day is ruined. And yet the reality is they probably sinned in 50 or 60 other ways. But it doesn't bother them at all. Because we choose, as people, most of the time, to zero in on a few handfuls of sins. We do business with those. We're high or low based on that, and we never ask God to search down deep or to take the focus off of this perfect little corner in our house and show us everything else that is going on, because I don't want to take my eyes off of that corner, or I don't want God to search me and know my heart, because I'm afraid that if God searches me and knows my heart, he might not be all that impressed with who I actually am. It goes on to say, try me and know my thoughts. There's times I don't want to know my thoughts. There's times I'm embarrassed. It's just me and my thoughts, and I'm embarrassed of some of the things that goes through my head. And the last thing I want to do is sit with God and wrestle with those. And yet it seems as if he's inviting us to have that experience. He says, see if there be any grievous way in me. Any. Search. Dig deep. Why? Because I want to be satisfied in you. I want to have joy. I want to know you in a deep, intimate way. And the only way I can know God in a deep, intimate, joy-filled way is if I give him access to do work down deep in my heart. And then he says this, and lead me in the way everlasting. What he's saying is there's something better than this. There's something better than just making a corner of my life look really, really good. There's something better than just occasionally putting a scripture up so that everybody remembers I'm still a Christian, or some really godly quote, or I'm praying for a city that just got hit by some disaster. See, this isn't Christianity. What Christianity is not what happens on social media, but what really happens in our lives. And yet, for so many of us, we are only content with being perceived as who we are not, not as who we actually are. There's five things that I want us to wrestle through tonight. And I put them here, and then we're going to jump into some scripture to help us break free from that beautiful corner mentality that we have in our lives. Number one is this: we want to be fulfilled, and we want to receive the desires of our hearts. Social media is a means for us to be fulfilled. It's not the ultimate means, but it's a means. And it might not be social media for you, it might be something else, but social media is a means to be fulfilled or to receive the desire of my heart, which a lot of the times is just to be perceived as good as someone else. Two, we want to be seen, we want to be affirmed, and we want to be significant. And one of the big reasons in this is because we don't know how to do relationships. Like, we don't know how to do healthy, good relationships. We know how to do social media relationships, and that is, I just want to show you what I want to show you, but we don't know how to let our ugly out with people in our lives so that they can really see who we are. Like, the doubts that we have, the brokennesses that we have, the times we want to give up and just throw things away, the times that we want to not believe that God is who he says he is. See, a lot of these realities we are not wrestling with in our lives. Why? Because we trade them in to just want to be seen, to be affirmed, and we want to be significant. Three, we want easy, emotional, mental stimulation. That's why we go to so much TV. That's why we go to so much social media, because it's not hard to get affirmation, to be seen, or to even be perceived as being significant inside of those arenas. If I invited you into a relationship that was described like this, I don't think anybody in the room would want to be a part of it. And I'm going to describe it because it's the relationship with social media. One, I don't care that you're coming. Two, I really don't care that you're here. Three, I won't care when you leave. That's social media. And yet, we are willing to give all the way up to 4.5 hours a day in some cases. And they say teenagers even go up to 9 hours at times on average of being in social media. Why? because we want to be easily mentally stimulated. We don't want to put in the work, and we're okay having those kind of relationships. Didn't care that we weren't there, don't care that we are there, and don't care when we leave. If you don't believe that, be off social media for a week and see how many friends call you and ask you where you've been. They're not going to, because they don't care. And that's not why people are there. They're there so that they can be seen, they can be affirmed, and they can be significant. And if liking what you're doing will get them a like back, they are game. Not because they actually like what you're doing, but because they so desperately want to be liked. It's kind of like a bartering system. I'll give you a like if you give me a like. I'll give you a love if you give me a love. And how often do we sit there hoping that this person or that person will be the one that likes our status to in some way, shape, or form give us some sort of affirmation or value or complete our day, checking time after time after time after time. And you say, well, I'm not a social media person. How many of us have people in our lives that if they don't acknowledge us, if they don't recognize us, if they don't make much of us, there is no way we'll have an ounce of joy in our lives? See, this bleeds into all of our relationships because very few of us truly know how to be satisfied in Christ, because we've never given him a true chance to satisfy us, because we're totally content being satisfied in easy emotional and mental stimulation. 4, we are afraid of the silence. We don't trust solitude with God. We seek noise to avoid our true selves. This is huge. Very few people sit quietly with God, and we'll get into that here in a moment. Lastly, we don't want to or have to trust people with the real us. We don't have to, because most of us are totally satisfied just knowing the social media us, convinced that everything is okay, and yet inside they are dying. Jesus described the Pharisees how a lot of us are with social media. On the outside, they are whitewashed tombs, and on the inside, they are dead, because we've never truly dug down deep to be transformed by God, but instead find ourselves doing surface warfare day after day after day. So we're going to go through some scriptures here in Psalms. I wanted to make it easy for flipping because I wanted to look at a lot of scripture. And so I decided to stay in Psalms, but I want us to wrestle through, how do I break free from the addictions of social media or these things taking place in my life? So Psalm chapter 37, verses 3 through 6 is where we will start. Psalm 37, starting in verse 3 through verse 6. It says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the new day. And I'm going to read verse 7 because we're going to be coming back to it later, but I want you to hear this. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, or over the man who carries out evil devices. I want us to unpack this because this is really good. The first thing that I see here to delighting myself in the Lord is I actually have to trust him. Some people in this room would say, I trust God, but you really don't trust him. You don't trust him with trusting people, because people hurt you. Something I learned the first time I had my heart broken in high school is that to find another person, I have to put my heart back out there again to be broke. And that's a really tough thing when you've had a broken heart. But here's the thing that we as Christians have got to develop in our minds. No one loves us more than God. No one. And I have to learn to trust him, knowing he will be enough, broken heart after broken heart after broken heart after broken heart. because your heart's going to be broken. Why? Because when you get out of this corner that's perfect and you start doing real life, your heart will be broken over and over and over again. And what's beautiful about that is you will see the sufficiency of Christ. And when you see the sufficiency of Christ, you will be full of joy. But if you're not willing to trust with your broken heart, not to not have broken hearts, but with your broken hearts, you will never truly find joy in Jesus Christ. See, it isn't a joy that's severed off from situational hardships. It's actually a joy that can be present inside of heartbreak. So key one is truly trusting the Lord. Two, doing good. Doing good, even if it's not going the way that I want it to go. I love Galatians 6, 9, and 10. It says, do not grow weary in doing good. For if you do not give up, you will reap a harvest. If you don't give up. But you know what we do? We give up when things start getting hard, and we go back to that social media corner again, having to act like everything's okay when it's not. It's okay when it's not okay. Because God's big enough when it's not okay. If he's only good, if he's only big, if he's only satisfying when things are okay, you're missing out on tons. And in fact, I would say 99% of satisfaction in Christ. So trust and do good. Two, befriend faithfulness. Befriend this faithfulness and learn to befriend the faithfulness of doing this. This book is either full of lies or full of all satisfying promises. And you've got to come to that conclusion sooner than later. Because as it says here in verse 7, you're going to have to be still before the Lord and wait patiently a lot. But in that being still, in that waiting patiently, God is going to be doing giant transforming realities that are going to help you understand his faithfulness and the benefit of being faithful, even when things are not going the way that I want them to go. When somebody gets a glimpse of something outside of that corner and they see my dysfunction, they see my hot mess life, they see my addictions, they see my failures, they see my shortcomings, will I still befriend faithfulness this way and in obedience? Or will I cower back into some corner looking for a lesser delight? He says to delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is not selfish desires. I'm sitting here reading the verse before it and reading the verse after it if I'm really going to get the meat of this verse. See, delighting myself in the Lord is not making life about me. Delighting myself in the Lord is making life about him, which social media hates. It doesn't like life about God. It likes life about you. When things are great, you want everybody to know about it. I went to a wedding yesterday, and I have a feeling that everybody wanted to know where I was, right? No. I didn't receive one phone call that says, Jeremy, where are you at today? What you doing, man? Can you send me some pics about what's going on in your life? Didn't receive one of those. But you know what I do anyway? I'm sending them out. You know why I'm sending them out? Because I have something so deep in me I don't even realize it's there. And that is, everybody will be happier if they center their life around me. If they get a glimpse of me, they'll be happier, right? And the reality is, we can cover it up in lots of things. But when we go to weddings, we look really good. And in fact, we look a lot better than we do most days. I don't take a whole lot of pictures of me sitting in an undershirt with gym shorts on, laying on the couch with my belly kind of puffed out and the dog laying on me with drool coming out the corner of its mouth. I don't take a lot of those pictures and put them on social media because nobody's impressed and no one wants to see it. I know that for sure. But to be honest with you, and let's really get a grip, nobody wants to see the other one either. They really don't. And if you've convinced yourself that people are sitting there on social media saying, man, I sure hope they put up wedding pics. I'm sitting here all day waiting for this. Then you fooled yourself. Because if that's the best thing that's going to happen that day, then you're missing out on true joy and satisfaction in Christ. And something I want to say before I continue, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. The last 2 weeks, God has wrecked me. Something that I want to say, I have sat with him broken up about how many things I encourage you to keep doing by liking it time and time and time again. Not even realizing what I was doing, but encouraging people to keep sitting in the filth of finding satisfaction in something outside of Jesus Christ. So we need to delight ourselves in the Lord, and then he will give you the desires of your heart, because the desire of your heart will be to make much of him and not yourself. See, that's what I'm looking for. When I get down deep with God, I want to delight in him being made much of, not me. And yet there's nothing natural in me that wants that. And oh, do I have access to something that I can avoid that at all cost, called social media. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. You got to be committed. You got to trust, and you got to believe he will act. Why? Because he says, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Can I tell you why he wants to bring forth your righteousness as the light? Because he wants to use you as a means to bring people to salvation. The more I make life about me, the less likely I'm going to be used by God to lead people to salvation. Chris preached a really powerful sermon Thursday night about a heart change about the lost. And I want you guys to understand something. Your heart will never change for the lost as long as you engage in self-magnifying. You'll never have a heart for the lost, because I need God's heart if I'm going to have a heart for the lost. I need to see through his eyes, not mine, not my pious religious eyes, not my I don't care eyes. No, his eyes, because then I will see what it is that he is doing. And that's the best place for me to be. I'm going to encourage you to turn over to Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. I want you to think about this description and just be real honest with yourself and say, when's the last time I had anything that even looked like this in my life? As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Context, he could not wait to go to God's presence. He could not wait to be in fellowship with the saints. He longed for this, because not only did he know God was going to do something in his life, he knew he was going to do it in other people's lives, and he longed to be with God. Some of us long to be in books. Some of us long to be on social media. Some of us long for leisure. Some of us long for many other things. But very few of us truly long for God. And I want to give you some good and bad news. The good news is you can't make that happen. What's incredibly exciting is God can. And so what does that mean for me? That I need to go to him and ask him for this. I want this kind of longing in my heart. And I want to explain something to you here. I'm going to get something out of my bag. I did this for class this morning, so I'm going to do it because I think it worked. I think God did a really good thing. This is a really cool book. It's called Expository Exaltation. And some of you are like, I don't even know what that means. And it's about John. It's by John Piper. I want to spend more time in this than I do in this. Can I tell you why? Because this stimulates my mind easier than this does. And you know why? Because this is far more valuable than this. And most of us as Christians, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that book. That's a great book. I love it. But most of us as Christians would even rather read a book about this than read about this. Because it's easy. It's easier. And we have all of this processing of easy stimulation. Some of you guys have maybe heard of the Bible Project on YouTube. Really cool stuff, but easy stimulation in compared to getting in this. Because I could watch Bible Project videos for hours on end. I struggle at times to read this for 15 minutes without having to call out for God to help me. Why? Because we all have muscles in here that must be developed. And some of you will read this book for a week and say, it's just not all that interesting, and you walk away from it. Some of you will try to tackle a book like Genesis or Isaiah or Ecclesiastes right out of the gate, okay? That's like having 200 pounds on the bench and you've never benched before. You're just like, I just want to start reading some Old Testament stuff. Will you learn to be passionate about this book before you start digging into heavyweight stuff? Start in the book of James. You want a good kick in the seat of your pants? Go to the book of James and sit there with God for a while and let him start to address things in your life. Don't ask him for easy stuff. Say, God, I want you to develop the muscle of my mind so that I enjoy sitting with you, so that I long for you, so that I want to be with you, so that at the end of any day that I don't give myself to you, I am at absolute chaos in my heart because I did not spend time with you. I want to be longing for you. We need to ask God to thirst for him and to be desperate. We do that by working this muscle of our mind. I want you to turn back to Psalm 36, verses 7 through 9. And something I want to say in all of this is, I'm not anti-books, but oh, am I pro this book. Let this be the lion's share of where you spend time. And once you fall in love with this, those books will be incredibly valuable to you. Psalm 36, starting in verse 7, says this, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God! The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Is he precious to you? Is he truly precious to you? Have you made a decision in your life that the God of the universe is precious and you want him to be more and more precious to you every single day? You're not going to settle for where you are in this. You're going to want to continue to dig deeper and deeper. Why? Because the children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of his wings. There is strength, and there is peace, and there is fulfillment, and there is joy, and there is satisfaction, and there is hardship, and there is suffering in the shadow of his wings. And in that place is where we are being transformed day after day. How beautiful would it be if the average time that a Christian spends with God is 2.5 hours a day, not the average time we spend on social media being 2.5 hours a day. I hear so many people say, I'm too busy to get in this, and then I hear a statistic like that and laugh. I hear a statistic like we spend anywhere from 3 to 6 hours a day watching TV, and yet we say all the time, we don't have time for this. I see devotions made all the time, 5 minutes with God, 10 minutes with God. When's the last time you picked up a book that says 5 minutes with social media? They don't exist. Because this is life-changing. Social media is not. Every single system in this world, whether it be your flesh, whether it be Satan, whether it be the world, whether it be principalities, wants to keep you out of this book because it is life transforming. The question is he precious, and do you take refuge in the shadow of his wings? Do you feast on the abundance of his house? Do you even look at him as abundance? Or do you go to lesser things for abundance? Some of us feast on the abundance of social media or television or, again, easy emotional or mental stimulation. We sit in it because we believe that's where the feasting is to be done, not with God, because we have not been transformed in a way that we long for him. See, he gives us drinks from the river of delights. For with him is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. Do you truly believe that in Christ is life? Do you truly believe that in Christ that is where I see most clearly, or do I see clearly when I'm in other means like social media? Let's turn over to Psalm 34, 8 and 9. It says this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. We are surrounded by men and women, boys and girls that are being taught where satisfaction is found. For some of you, you are the paparazzi and your children are the models or the celebrities, constantly taking pictures of everything they do, going to a place, and you will teach them to go to a place where there will be no satisfaction. They will never be good enough for anyone on there. And so many women that are in their 20s continue to struggle with being enough in that arena, comparing themselves to other people they see in that arena, declaring, I'm not good enough. And then when they get into places like this, you know what they do? They go into social media mode and they look around the room and they judge themselves based on what they see. Not enjoying any of the satisfactions that are found in God, in the place where they are, in the situation they're in, and instead are taken hostage of making it about themselves because they've been taught for years, keep going to that and there'll be satisfaction. Keep posting pictures. Keep being as beautiful as you can with all those filters. And yet in real life, there are no filters. There's none. And we try to still find satisfaction in this real life with no filters, hiding ourselves instead of putting filters up, hiding ourselves so that no one sees who we really are, hiding behind the fear of being judged or not being good enough because we were trained at a very young age that you need to be seen. And there is only one who will see you that will ever truly satisfy you, and that is Christ. It's not the man of your dreams. It's not a great dad. It's not a best friend. It is Christ. And to desire to be seen by anyone but him will lead to disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And this isn't just a lady issue. This is a guy issue too. Where we just want people to see our life as being fun and fulfilling and good. Not admitting that it's not. And why isn't it? Because God is not at the center of it. And we want to pretend like everything's good and wonderful, but in reality, it is far from it. Are you willing to take the risk of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good? Are you willing to take the risk of letting Him be your refuge instead of something else? Are you willing to fear the Lord? Because those who fear him have no lack. See, to truly fear the Lord is that what he thinks is supreme over everything else. That's truly the essence of fearing the Lord. What he says is supreme to anything else. What he says about sin, what he says about this world, and in this context, what he says about you. See, we can only truly be satisfied in him. But why, with all the church services, access to all these Bibles, being able, because of the work of Christ, to boldly come to his throne of grace, why are we still falling so short inside of satisfaction? I truly believe it's because we have not truly learned solitude with God. I want you to turn back to Psalm 37, verse 7 again. And I want to challenge you first with this. Are you willing to start practicing this in your life? To be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him? Are you willing to take your eyes off those who seem to prosper by being the most beautiful, the most spiritual, the most successful, the best at whatever it is they're doing, and put your eyes on Christ? Are you willing to wait until you have a transformation in your life where you don't need those things from social media anymore? Because the good news is, social media, just like anything else, can be used for the glory of God. But we're so far from it that it's going to take so much transformation in our hearts to use it in a way to honor and glorify Him. for most people in this room. And so the question here this evening to start is, are you willing to be still before the Lord, to wait patiently on Him, and not to lose your mind over when it seems like everybody else is getting the likes, the attention, the fulfillment that you so much deserve in your life, in your mind, that you've worked hard, you've used the perfect filter, you cleaned the perfect corner, you made everything look so good, and yet when it's all done, it still isn't working, and yet there's something in you that tells you, keep going back to that well, keep trying, keep digging there, that's where the treasure is found, and yet the treasure is truly found in being still before the Lord and waiting patiently for Him to satisfy. He's not a genie. You just don't show up and He satisfies. But if you are still and if you are patient, you will watch Him start to transform your life. You will watch Him start to satisfy you in a way that you've never been satisfied. You'll start to see delights grow, not for the things of this world, but for Him. And it will absolutely blow your mind, the transformation that will start to take place. I want us again to turn to Psalm 139, because I want us to focus on this verse again, because not only do we need to sit with Him, but we also need to beg Him to search us, to get all of those things out of our hearts, the comparisons, the worldly satisfactions, all of that ugliness, and say, God, get it all out of there that we can deal with this together. Because I can't do it on my own, and neither can you. But we serve a life-changing God. But you've got to dig deep with Him. You've got to ask Him to search you, to know your heart, to know your thoughts, to reveal those to you, and then you wage war against those things. Not just some in an apathetic way where I just sit back and I try really hard for a few days, but you get up underneath the weight of that sin and ask God to give you the strength to battle it every single day of your life. And every single time you're drawn back into this corner of perfection, that you beg Him to give you the strength to resist it. And you sit with Him and believe what He says about you, and that is that you are His. And you are only satisfied in Him. And anything else is an empty well that will only steal your life. To finish up tonight, I want us to look at Psalm 62. We're going to look at a few verses in Psalm 62 tonight. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2 and verse 5. And it says this: For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Verse 5, For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. Tonight, I want to encourage you to ask God for the ability to make Him your fortress so that you stop greatly being shaken. So often we run back to this and we are greatly shaken by what we find. We're greatly shaken by the reality that we just don't simply measure up. But it says something here in verse 1. It says, For God alone my soul waits. Why? Because only God alone can satisfy. There's nothing else worth waiting for. See, some of you have convinced yourself that there are far greater things to wait for than God. Some of you are waiting for marriage. Some of you are waiting for a promotion. Some of you are waiting for some other sort of reality to take place in your life that you believe will save you from who you are. If you have this, life will be better. Only God is worth that kind of waiting for. Only God. And anything else is going to come up short. Why? Because He alone is the rock. He alone is salvation. He alone is a fortress. If you don't want to be greatly shaken. So the question tonight is, are you tired of being greatly shaken? Because we have a few responsibilities that we need to deal with here tonight. Number one is honesty. Be honest about how satisfying social media is in your life. And not satisfying in a good way. Satisfying in a destroying way. Some of us genuinely love sitting in defeat and failure and dissatisfaction. We love sitting and not being good enough. We love sitting in life not going good. We love sitting and nothing ever happening the way that it's supposed to. We love sitting in it. We love to fester in it. Why? Because that's what we've grown accustomed to. Because God is not our satisfaction. The first thing we have to admit is that we have a problem with where we go. The second thing we have to admit is we're an example to a generation of people following us. And we have to stop convincing them that the world revolves around them. And one of the greatest ways to do that is stop making the world revolve around you. Again, social media does not care about you. Social media has robbed us of real relationships. Can you imagine if you spent 2.5 hours every day building up people in the kingdom instead of building up yourself or trying to on social media? Can you imagine, as opposed to spending 3 hours on TV every day, that you actually spent time in God's Word, that you spent time in prayer, desperately seeking Him to be satisfied in Him and be an example to the next generation of people coming up that God isn't just an afterthought in the smorgasbord of satisfaction, but He is the smorgasbord of satisfaction. He's not just something that might satisfy you occasionally if the situation is right, but He is everything. See, that's our only hope, and it's the only hope that the people have following after us. They don't need life to be about them. Way before social media existed, we had that same problem. We wanted life to be about us. What it does is it magnifies it. Because it isn't just at home or in our friend group. It's for everybody to see that I love me. And when you love you, and when you're about you, it's never going to be about God. And it so sneakily winds its way into your heart and deceives you that it's okay to make life about you and God. And He is a jealous God. And He says, it's all me or it's nothing. Because there is no satisfaction waiting for the one who even is willing to give 95% of themselves to God. He asks for everything, every single time. And He wants you to have that as an example to those underneath you. I'm going to encourage everybody in here, if you're a Christian, to do something that might sound absolutely insane. And you don't have to do it. And if you don't do it, that's just between you and God. But I'm going to encourage you to take a 2-week social media fast. And why I want you to do that is to really dig in with God and ask Him to do what Psalm 139 asks you to do. God, search me out. Show me how much I go to this. Show me how much of my satisfaction is found in this. You might say, well, Jeremy, I don't struggle with social media. Then I encourage you to sit with God and say, what is it that I want more than you? What is it that I would rather go to? Maybe it's a game on TV. Maybe it's a romance novel. Maybe it's video games. I don't know what it is. But what is it that sucks you into a reality where they don't care about you? When you could be sitting in a reality where there is no one who loves you more, and that is God. See, I encourage you to do this not so we can say, oh, we're really spiritual and we gave up social media for 2 weeks. I don't even want you to tell anybody if you're doing it, to be honest with you. I just want it to be between you and God. I don't want people to raise hands and say, I commit to do it 2 weeks. No, I want you to wrestle with God, because my hope is at the end of it, in waiting for Him, seeking Him, spending time with Him, taking all the time you would put into that and giving it to God, that you will start to find a satisfaction in your life that you've never experienced before. Asking him, say, God, I want to see me like you see me, and that is through your glory, through your righteousness, through what you've done, not what I do, but through what you've done. I want to see myself through that, because that's where satisfaction is found. And I can guarantee you that if you do this, you will start to delight in him in a way like you never have, that you will be satisfied in him in a way that you never have, because you're saying to him, I want you more than anything else. You're saying to him, I want my children to want you more than anything else. You're saying to him, I want my friends to want you more than anything else. I want them to see there's something more to live for in life than the next photo op. I want them to see that when they ask me, hey, why aren't you into those things? Why aren't you looking at your phone 24/7? That you say, because there's something better to look at, and that's Christ. That's what I want to focus on. Because we honestly think that the quickest means to salvation is being really, really good with having a whole lot of information in here. And that's really important. But what draws men to God is holiness. You look at the Old Testament and you're like, why all of the rules and regulations? Because God loved them so much that he didn't want them to be satisfied in anything else. And he said, that's just a taste of what Christ is. Just a taste. And so often we look at these kind of things and like, God's kind of a killjoy, right? No bacon? How miserable is that? No, he's like, guys, in comparison to bacon, I'm so beyond that, you can't even imagine. There's nothing you could ever give up that when you've tasted of Christ that you would not say, worth it a million times over. That's the essence of holiness. I'll obey this because I get to taste Christ a little bit more. I'll obey this because I'm going to be satisfied a little bit more, delighted a little bit more. And so anything I can do to be satisfied in him, I'll do it. Just tell me what needs to be done. And tonight, it's to learn to sit in solitude with God, to listen, to ask him to reveal to you anything that's in there that needs to go, and to wage war against those things. Some of you pray and some of you read, but very few of us sit quietly with God and say, do a work in my heart. So tonight, to finish